Now it's Food Friday. Today we're getting a taste of Italy by way of Wisconsin. Our next guest has a new cookbook out based on his own Italian restaurant in Madison. The book takes us all around Italy, from the plains to the mountains, the sea, the local farmers market, and right to your pantry, all with restaurant quality recipes you can make in your home kitchen. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What is your favorite Italian meal? Is there an Italian dish you'd like to try making at home but need a little help with? Do you have Italian recipes passed down maybe from your own family? Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Francesco Mangano is chef and owner of Osteria Papavero in Madison. He's one of four Wisconsin chefs nominated for a 2023 James Beard Award for Best Chef Midwest. His new cookbook is called the Osteria Papavero Cookbook, Recipes from the Italian Shack and Beyond. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, thank you.
Well, can you take us back to your childhood in Bologna, Italy? What role did food play in your family growing up?
Well, a big role. And I learned how to probably roll pasta with a pasta machine, roll pasta dough, maybe when I was 6 or 7 years old. So the Easter and Christmas times were always the one where all the family would come together at the table, and not just at the table. It would take maybe a couple of days to get those meals ready for Christmas night and before Christmas Day and Easter, the eve of Easter and Easter Day. So definitely a long time spent cooking and then the next day eating.
Now, for your cookbook, you don't necessarily go for those long preparation meals. You say in the book you're giving us some weeknight meals. Could you tell us your approach to finding recipes that would work for, you know, getting a meal on the table in a couple hours?
Well, I mean, there were different approaches. We thought about this cookbook with Lindsay Christians, and definitely we didn't want to include recipes that would take, you know, 2 or 3 pages long and take too much time for any person that's cooking at home and wants to do something relatively quick. Also, there were other approaches, like we do a lot of salumi, cured meats at the restaurant, but that would have taken a cookbook on his own to do. So I'm sorry about that. Those are not necessarily included, except for maybe one recipe in the cookbook. And then there is also the part of where we process all that we get from vegetables to meats with a no-waste kind of mentality. And so we try to take full advantage of a fennel frond or a cauliflower stem. And for all those recipes, again, it would have probably taken an additional book. So we try to shrink the recipe volume and the amount of recipes to things that we really like, the customers kept on asking to be in a possible cookbook in the future. And now we have it. And things that are favorites, from the butterscotch pudding to a few others, wild boar pasta with pappardelle. Those are all people's favorites.
Now, I think sometimes in the U.S., it's easy to think of Italian food as one thing. But as you write in your book, there's a lot of variety from place to place. Can you tell us, in the place you grew up in the Bologna area, what are some of the dishes that were really important there that you bring to the cookbook?
Well, I mean, that's like you just mentioned, it's essentially I would decide to kind of move with the structure of the book. So I have recipes that belong to me growing up, but since I grew up in Bologna, I spent most of my summers in Tuscany. I would pretty much go every summer to the mountains, typically Dolomites. Recipes kind of resonated with me from all those areas, plus I have some, my family comes from the southern part of Italy. So it did only make sense to do recipes from Bologna, recipes from Tuscany, recipies from the mountains. And then also recipes since, you know, I moved first in Madison when I was about 25, 26 years old and took advantage of the farmer's market right away working in restaurants here. So the last part of sort of the fourth chapter of the cookbook would be what how Osteria Papavero has been using the farmer's market and take advantage in the recipes that we use that are typically Italian recipes.
It's Food Friday. We're talking to Francesco Mangano, chef and owner of Osteria Papavero in Madison, one of four Wisconsin chefs nominated for a 2023 James Beard Award for Best Chef Midwest. He has a new cookbook out named after his restaurant. We're talking about it and about cooking Italian food. You can join in with your favorites, your memories, or your questions for Francesco. Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Want to look at one of the recipes? This is one you've shared with us. We're going to have it at WPR.org/Food Friday, a soup, carrot ginger soup. This one looks really good. Can you tell us a little bit about the recipe?
Yeah, this again is part of the recipes that we kind of develop at Harvest Restaurant when I was working there before opening, years before opening the Pavaro. My mentor was Jeff Ford back in the days, a chef that mentored also other chefs that are, have restaurants today in Milwaukee and Madison, for example, Justin Carlisle or the chef owner of Mint Mark here in Madison. So that was really his recipe. I learned how to make it. I learned also how not to mess it up. I used to have this problem with using my, that was my first job, at a restaurant in Madison. And I had to use the blender to blend that soup every time it was, time to warm it up. And I would just spray carrot ginger soup all over the wall. So, I learned quickly how not to do that, but that was a recipe that resonated with me because it's a perfect use of something humble, but that is plentiful in the summer at the farmer's market, like carrots.
Carrots are coming. Are there, you know, we're coming up on spring produce season. What kind of things are you excited to use in your restaurant or that we can use in our home cooking?
Well, being a seasonal restaurant, we're very much looking forward to move away from the winter into the spring. And so things like asparagus or fava beans or peas or anything that is green and is going to come hopefully in a month and a half, we're ready to use. Crespellis or our stuffed crepe, savory crepe, we're probably going to move forward from what we have now in the menu, which is a ricotta and spinach filling, to most likely a ricotta and asparagus filling. So I'm definitely looking forward to that. But things like asparagus are so versatile. You can do Milanese style asparagus with fried egg and parmigiano on top. You can do asparagus soup. You can do grilled asparagus, or you can do, like I said, a stuffing for pasta or crepes. So definitely looking forward for that spring. It's almost there.
Now for pasta, you make some of your own, but in your book you talk about, you know, it's okay. We can buy pasta. That said, what do we look for to say, yeah, this is the dried pre-made pasta that's going to work best?
Well, there are a lot of great brands come out of Italy. We found actually a few that work for us. Even here in the States, we've been buying some Gramigna pasta, which is typically a curly pasta, short, typical from Bologna. There is a company here in Arkansas. I don't know if I necessarily need to say the name on the radio, but
sure,
it's in Arkansas. They're doing a great job with their pasta and their pasta extruder. Pasta is a work of labor, and it takes a long time to dry a pasta and slowly and to use the right extruder, metal extruder. There are some companies still using gold extruders in Italy. Those actually work the best. But you want to look for a good quality pasta. Again, if you don't buy it from this country, there's plenty of good ones coming from Italy, from Felicetti, from Verini, other more mainstream like Rusticella, Giuseppe Cocco. I mean, we just look for something that keeps the bite, doesn't dissolve in the water, doesn't overcook easily. And then just follow the package cooking time, I guess. Most of the time it works. But that's for the dry pasta. We make all our stuffed pasta at the restaurant daily, weekly. So that's definitely on us. It's a work that we do for the savory crepes, for example, 2 or 3 times a week. So
now for cooking pasta, you know, people say put in olive oil, don't put in olive oil, put in salt, don't put in salt, rinse, don't rinse. What is your secret for us making these pastas at home?
Well, I mean, that's the oil. There is sort of a legend, urban legend that says if you put oil in the water, the pasta won't stick one piece to the other while it's cooking. Well, you still have to stir the pasta. You can just dump 2 pounds of pasta in a pot of boiling water and expect not to stick to one another. That will do that. So stir around every once in a while. Make sure you put salt in the water. The salt in the water should taste almost as salty as the ocean water, you know, saltiness. Just that way you actually season the pasta. It doesn't taste bland. And then a light rinse right after putting your colander usually works, just to stop the cooking in the pasta and cool the pasta down very quickly. So those are just 2 or 3 hints that, you know, if you work in a professional kitchen, you get repeated by me over and over and over. like some of my cooks.
Now, the chef Lydia Bastianich coming on this show has gotten me to sometimes to save my pasta water, right? That starchy pasta water. Do you save it? If so, what do you recommend that we do with it?
No, we don't save it. We don't have a big enough walking to be saving the liters or gallons of pasta water we cook every day. No, but that's a good hint. Adding a little pasta water to your sauce in the pan before you add your pasta actually will thicken up your sauce a little bit. If it needs that that kind of viscosity, for sure. There's pasta sauces that don't need that at all. If you make a good cream sauce or a good tomato sauce that's been simmering for a while, you probably don't need to thicken more than it really is. So,
we're talking to James Beard Award-nominated chef Francesco Mangano from the restaurant Osteria Papavero in Madison. His new cookbook is the Osteria Papavero Cookbook, Recipes from the Italian Shack and Beyond. You can join in at 800-642-1234. It's Food Friday. We're talking about Italian food. Do you have a favorite Italian dish to make at home or order when you go to a restaurant, or maybe that you encountered on travels at some point in your life, or maybe you grew up with it? Share your favorites, or if you have a question about how to make, well, you fill in the blank, call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We have that carrot ginger soup from Francesco at WPR.org/Food Friday. We'll continue the conversation coming up here on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our talk with Francesco Mangano, chef and owner of Osteria Papavero in Madison, with us today to share his new cookbook on Food Friday. The cookbook's called the Osteria Papavero Cookbook, Recipes from the Italian Shack and Beyond. You could join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Are you a fan of Italian food or particular types of Italian food? Share your favorites. Join in with your questions for our guest at 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Okay, Francesco, there's a recipe that caught my eye. The title, the picture really grabbed me. Panino Pazzo, a crazy sandwich. I'm looking at the picture right now. It looks pretty wild. Tell us about this sandwich.
Yeah, no, that's actually an idea that came from a pizza place that's the town where I was born and raised. So technically, it's just a pizza dough. It's made sort of cooked in the wood fire oven, like a little disc of pizza dough, and then sliced in half and then stacked with all those goodies. So tuna, good Sicilian tuna, canned but good quality, and then prosciutto, hard-boiled eggs, lettuce, aioli, tomatoes if you have them in season in summer. So all those things are fantastic. It's something that I would eat when I was a teenager, and it's something that I would crave. So it's definitely not your simple pizza margherita with tomato mozzarella, which is nothing wrong with that. But it's definitely something super tasty you can make with pizza dough.
And the recipe you've got in the book, we can sub in a ciabatta roll if we don't want to go through the trouble of making a pizza dough along the way.
Yeah, ciabatta roll is great because it's got a nice chew. It's a little crispy on the outside. It's got a nice bubble of on the inside of a bread that's delicious and moist. So it's perfect if you want to get a thin ciabatta, freshly made. Like, there's a couple of good bakers in town, or actually more than that. And then just make your own at home.
Let's bring on a caller now at 800-642-1234. Melly is with us in Madison. Melly, hi.
Hi, buongiorno. I traveled in Italy quite a bit and visited an area called Rimini, which is south of Venice. And there at the restaurant, they had bottles of olive oil, some with chili peppers in it, and you're meant to pour it on top of your pizza before you eat it.
Oh, that sounds yummy.
Yes. Yeah. No, that's that could be pretty normal for that area. I grew up basically about an hour and 50 minutes driving from Rimini. I would go down there to have seafood with my friends, my teenage years, smorgasbord of seafood, grilled, fried appetizer. But that's something that they do, especially at the beginning of the meal. They give you the fresh fried or baked bread in the wood fire oven, very thin, very crisp, and then you pour olive oil on top. Yeah, I've seen that.
Melly, thanks for sharing that. Enjoy that experience. 800-642-1234. Now, you mentioned seafood, Francesco. Now, we're here in Wisconsin. What are some of your favorite ways to recreate some of those seafood recipes you had in Italy with the knowledge that, you know, we're here in the Midwest? We're not dipping it right out of the ocean here.
Well, I mean, it grew, Madison grew as a restaurant city, food city, but also the technology and the couriers and the possibility to get something shipped overnight. That wasn't necessarily the case or a possibility 20 years ago. You can do it now. You can do it. There's many companies, couriers, UPS, FedEx, whatever you want to use. On both coasts, we sometimes get seafood shipped from Hawaii within 36 hours at the door of the restaurant. So there's all sorts of things that you could do nowadays at a restaurant you probably couldn't have done 20 years ago. And things like octopus or mollusks or things like seafood, mussels, clams, prawns, there's all things that you can get almost as fresh as caught, you know, the same day from the sea. And I've been, having grown up in Tuscany, I did learn a lot of things about cooking techniques from my uncles down there. I'm definitely have an affection for seafood. So we try to do as much as we can with the produce that we can get in, which is, again, like I said, a lot better, a lot more pristine than what we could have gotten like many years ago.
And I see, you know, every now and then in your recipes, I run into smoked salmon and things like that. So we can find creative ways to use fish in our Italian cooking too.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and there is many ways. I'm going back to that no waste mentality that I was talking at the beginning. It doesn't just apply to meat or vegetables. You can also do with seafood. So there's things, if you have a nice fillet or a nice piece of salmon or trout that you have left over from the day before, it only takes very few minutes to brine it for a couple hours. And brine is essentially a salty water sugar solution. And then you can let it dry for a couple more hours in the smoker and smoke it. If you have a smoker in the summer, it's an ideal. If you can put a grill outside to grill, you can also have a smoker outside to smoke. So you can easily do something like that at home. Yep.
Talking to Francesco Mangano on this edition of Food Friday. He owns a restaurant in Madison. His new cookbook is the Osteria Papavero Cookbook, Recipes from the Italian Shack and Beyond. Now, you're here in Wisconsin. I understand you've embraced some local ingredients, including our mushrooms of Wisconsin. Can you talk about how you use those in your cooking?
Well, this is a combination of what we found in Wisconsin, what we forage during the year from about April to November ourselves, because I love to go in the woods myself. Different, many parks in Wisconsin where we can forage mushrooms. Some mushrooms we get from a good friend, Mike, just speaker, Mike the Mushroom Guy, somebody knows him like that, from other restaurants to order from him. He's a forager, he's very passionate about his mushrooms. He provides it with a lot of mushrooms, especially in the down season in the winter. And so some that we can get in Wisconsin, and then the idea or the recipe for the mushrooms too is also in the book, came also from a restaurant I happened to eat many times back in Tuscany about 20 years ago. A delicious mushroom stew with some grilled bread, good Tuscan bread grilled. So you don't really invent anything as a chef. You recreate recipes or reinvent them a little bit, but it's hard to make up something original. It's somebody somewhere has already done it before you.
And one thing I love in the cookbook, you say Italian recipes are forgiving. You don't have to be like laser precise in your measurements and things like that. What makes the Italian cooking you do, you know, flexible for us home cooks?
Well, I mean, flexible is not sloppy. It's just that Italian food, in general, cooking is less precise than pastry. When you cook in pastry, it's better to stick to measurements. Otherwise, you come up with a lot of disasters, typically, even for a professional cook or baker. In cooking, you can be a little bit more flexible. Italian food has the advantage to not be relying on many ingredients in most recipes. We're not talking about Thai food or Vietnamese or even Chinese or even Mexican, where, you know, make a mole with 30 ingredients. That doesn't happen almost anywhere in Italy or in any regions where they cook. So you can easily make a recipe with 4 or 5 ingredients. And that also means that you can also be a little bit more flexible and a little bit more rustic in your preparations.
And then I wanted to ask you, Francesco, about something you mentioned earlier that isn't in the cookbook. It might be a whole nother book, curing and smoking your own meats for use at the restaurant. Can you tell us just about some of the variety of Italian style meats you're doing there?
Yeah, we were, we actually ended up many years ago writing that as a plan when most restaurants, or at least a few restaurants in Madison, were starting to make their own cured meats at the restaurant. So what we call salumi in Italy. The same as a plan we've wrote with the health department and many other restaurants use around Madison. I think we were some of the few or first ones to make their own cured meats in-house in a restaurant in Wisconsin. And we're talking about 15, 16 years ago when we began. Well, my favorite, it's hard to pinpoint a favorite. I love prosciutto, but sometimes it takes 2 years. You know, hanging time, you have to wait for it. We're ready. I love pancetta, maybe 5-6 months of hanging. Curing and hanging is enough to get a good pancetta. Salami is a lot more forgiving in terms of time. In a couple of months, you can get a salame. 2 to 3 months, you can get a beef bresaola, which is delicious. It's probably one of the easiest salumi to make. So it's hard to pick one. We try to also keep a nice variety for people that come to a restaurant, try our gran piatto, which is sort of a smorgasbord of cured meats.
I'll have to try that sometime. Francesco, thanks again for joining us today.
Absolutely. Thank you.
We've been talking to Francesco Mangano, chef and owner of Osteria Papavero in Madison. He's one of four Wisconsin chefs nominated for a 2023 James Beard Award for Best Chef Midwest. And he is with us today to share his new cookbook called The Osteria Papavero Cookbook, Recipes from the Italian Shack and Beyond. You can find a recipe, that carrot ginger soup we talked about earlier. We'll have it up at WPR.org/Food Friday. And you could still share your favorite Italian food experiences as a cook or consumer. Let us know over on the Ideas Network Facebook page.